Welcome to the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. I'm Olivia, your host. On this podcast, I will be bringing light to topics that are important but not discussed enough within our society. Episodes will include a range of topics, starting with the journey to conceive, pregnancy, birth, postpartum and motherhood, holistic healing and nutrition, and the importance of true informed consent and medical freedom. The goal of this podcast is to create connections, share stories, information, and resources to educate and empower people in their own personal journey. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. Tonight, I have a very, very special guest that I am super excited about. And I also have not recorded a in-person podcast since I first started this podcast. So I have Michelle with us. Hello. Michelle is well on Instagram. And Michelle and I connected, we just realized almost a year ago. So it's been a year since we connected on Instagram, and we just met in person for the first time.
First time ever.
Yesterday.
Bonded like sisters already.
Yes. So we went back and forth on Instagram. I think initially we found each other because we were both so in the space of holistic health and wellness and like sharing our healing journey and sharing information with other people to help them on their own journeys. And then we bonded even deeper and we would send voice memos. And Michelle was just so genuine and kind and like
actually. You're already gonna make me cry.
We both might cry on this episode, just a forewarning.
We're very vulnerable with each other.
Yes.
Which I love about you.
I love about you. I love you. Welcome to the Love Fest, guys. This is the Love Podcast.
This is where we're sister bonded and we just love everything about each other.
So we went back and forth. We would send voice memos and we were just like, we need to meet in person. And then we decided that. And then recently we were like, are you free this month? And so here we are.
Yeah.
Michelle drove 7 hours.
It should have been 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Should not have been seven,
but
she made it.
Traffic
on a Friday. Yes, unfortunately. So Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me in your home.
Thank you for staying in our home.
And letting me get to know your daughter. That's been amazing.
So special. She loves you so much.
She said tonight before bedtime to her mother, she said, I love her, meaning me.
We were in the other room. We were getting ready for bed. And I was like, I know, you're having so much fun playing with Michelle, aren't you? She just goes, I love her. And Michelle's out in the living room.
My heart melted. I was like, yeah, she does.
She does.
I love her too.
Yes, she's an interesting soul.
She's an old soul.
She's an old soul.
Yeah.
Well, I would love for you to tell everyone a bit about you and like what sets your soul on fire, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
That's hard to pin down.
Yes.
Because I'm passionate about a lot of things. I think my main thing in life is I'm a very inquisitive mind. So I've always asked questions. I've always loved discovering how the world works, how nature works with our bodies, how we're pretty much one with nature. We are nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our bodies work in synchronicity with, the earth, with the sun, and just everything, all the elements. And I'm like, how can we heal our bodies in a way where we use nature to heal us instead of Western medicine?
Yes.
That's like what I'm most passionate about.
I think both you and I are very passionate about a lot of things, but they're all under one umbrella, right?
Right.
They're all under this holistic health healing journey. How can we become
well? Wellness. Yeah.
Yes. How can we become well? How can we help other people understand that their bodies, their God-given bodies, are capable of so much?
Right.
Instead of relying on a broken, profit-driven system.
Yes.
That's specifically
It's silencing people.
But it's also, it's not about
wellness.
What your body needs.
Right.
Our healthcare, I'm saying this in air quotes for anyone not watching this podcast that we're recording video.
Healthcare. It's sick care.
It is sick care. And some people don't want to hear that. And so I think opening up these conversations and also empowering people with the tools that they need and also just the information that they need so they can read it for themselves. And so they can try on their own. They can try new things and see how their bodies respond, because there is no one size fits all.
No,
there's no one size fits all in any aspect.
Not even with herbs.
Not even with herbs. We're going to have a discussion about herbs tonight too. There's no one size fits all. And so you have to do your own experimentation with your body.
Right.
And what works for someone might not work for you.
Right.
What makes someone's body feel really good might not make your body feel really good.
Right, exactly.
But if we're bringing it back to nature and giving our bodies what it needs, nourishing our body, supporting our body, our immune system, having an understanding of your immune system,
right,
is so important.
Right.
Because many people don't.
Right.
I forget where I was going with that, but...
Yeah, we're giving ourselves a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Instead of just throwing ourselves to the wolves.
Yes.
You know,
big and pharma. And by the wolves, yes. I was going to say, by the...
Big pharma.
That means big pharma. The wolves are big pharma.
Wolves are big pharma.
So, yeah. So, we connected for all of those reasons. And I just am so thankful that we connected. Because I feel like not only are we learning more about ourselves, but we're helping others become more open and vulnerable. Which is hard.
It's very hard.
It's hard, and it's not easy work to do.
Right. And that's something that we've actually talked a lot about this weekend, mm-hmm. is because I haven't been around somebody like Olivia in a long time where I'm actually free to be vulnerable, and she is like a safety net where she's like, I accept you. I see you. And a lot of people don't want to see each other, and we've had a lot of discussions about this weekend where it's like, thank you for seeing me and for loving me and letting me be seen. You know, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with being vulnerable, so we'll get into that too.
Yeah, that's kind of something we're going to like leave you guys with at the end of the podcast. So one of the first things I wanted to ask about was, what started you on your holistic healing journey? What led you there?
So I was in a Wegmans. I was 18 years old. Wegmans is a grocery store.
We have them.
Do you have them here?
Yeah.
I know you do it in
New
York.
It's right down there.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I know them. They're like up and down the East Coast.
They started in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was 18 years old walking around Wegmans with my mom, and she was very back. I almost said vaccine injured. She was very pharmaceutical injured. She had radiation and chemo 20 years prior to her passing away when I was 19. And she, sorry, she could barely walk like through the grocery store. So we're walking through this grocery store. She's just completely just deteriorating.
Old was she at that point?
She was 49.
49.
48 going on 49. I was 18 going on 19. We were 30 years apart. She had one. She was 30. But she picked up blueberries in Wegmans. And she was like, do you know these have antioxidants in them?
She said that.
And it was like the first time that her and I were learning about food together. And that's like literally what sparked everything was blueberries.
That's wild.
And
amazing.
And then she passed away 6 months later.
I'm so sorry.
But it's like now knowing what I know, and this is something I discovered 2 years ago, my why I'm so passionate about health and wellness, why I'm so passionate about, you know, using food as medicine,
mm-hmm.
and kitchen medicine and backyard medicine,
mm-hmm.
and earth medicine, is because I feel like if my mom had known that when she was 21, I'm going to cry.
It's okay. I'm going to cry too.
Thanks. When she was 21, she had Hodgkin's disease. She could have healed herself. She could have healed herself if she had known another way. She didn't. She was in nursing school. She loved, you know, big pharma. That's all she was taught. And she just signed me up, Buttercup. I'm going to take, you know, radiation and chemo instead of exploring other options, you know. And then 20 years later is what made all of that radiation is what made her develop breast cancer. And then from that point, you know, passing. So I think that was my why was if I can tell other people. Sorry.
I love you. It's okay.
Like if I can. Tell other people there's another way, you know, that maybe I can save somebody's life.
Which is a big undertaking. Like, I think that's a part of, like, the holistic healing journey that's, like, really difficult for some people to understand because they think we're just, like, hippie woo-woo, like, F the system.
Right. No, it's because we have either had family injured, you know what I mean?
Family,
by the
friends.
System.
Or ourselves personally,
right,
or
our children.
Or our children. And so it's like people don't understand that everyone who's in this space that we are has had someone who we've lost or who has been really, really ill and then became better because they stopped utilizing
right.
traditional Western medicine.
Right.
Which I really just genuinely wonder, I say this all the time, I wonder when and why we moved so far away from what's natural to us.
From in our ancestral traditions.
Right.
You know, like, where did we lose it? And I saw, did you see this meme that came out a few, not a meme, but like a post a few months ago that said, who was the last person in your lineage to bake bread? Who was the last person to sew? Who was last, like all these things that our ancestors used to do, who was the last person in your line of lineage who stopped and thought to themselves, I'm not going to teach this to my daughter.
Right.
And that's huge for me because not even my grandmother. I mean, I think she said she had a victory garden. Remember those back during World War II? Everybody had their own.
Yes.
And that was like the last.
Yes.
That, when she was like a teenager.
But I, even in you saying that, and I'm trying to think back, like I don't think on either side of my family. I don't know. I would have to ask, but I don't think either one of my grandmothers baked their own bread. Neither one of them had a garden.
My grandmother never baked her own bread.
Yeah, they did know how to sew, but that's what
my
I
mom
mean.
Did teach me how to sew. Yeah,
but where and why? Like our world is so focused on
fast,
next best thing. What's this quick fix?
Right.
And it's not, people don't realize how far removed we are from, this actually ties into what we're talking about when, like, we're going to be talking a little bit about, like, our sobriety journeys. Mm-hmm. Not that we were ever addicted to things, but we're going to be talking about that later on in the podcast, but it all ties into the same thing. Like, when do we move so far away from, like, our consciousness, our mindfulness, our awareness of what our bodies really need,
right? Of being present.
Being present, being in the moment and not being obsessed with social media and purses, like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Then flashy cars, huge houses, how many followers we have. It's just like, oh man, we have a lot of
we have a lot of depth to our soul we gotta unpack.
Yeah.
Welcome to
episode.
Our deep souls. enjoy.
So thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for
about your mom.
Me. Yeah.
Because it's not easy to be vulnerable. It's, and a lot of people avoid that. We've spent a lot of time talking about that this weekend too, because we'd rather avoid feelings. And that's huge in our generation and past generations. I think this upcoming generation is definitely more in touch with their feelings and talking about them and getting... they're like expressing them.
Right. And that's honestly, that's why I started Michelle's Well, is because people are now leaving Western medicine.
A lot of people are.
They're now leaving.
Fleeing.
They're now waking up because of COVID. It's so nice to not worry about being censored, by the way.
Yes, isn't it?
COVID. Can't censor this. But yeah, like that's why I started Michelle's Well, was I realized people don't like their. That was
sorry,
not
that was,
my belly.
That was our my dog.
That was the dog.
Thank you, Bexy. Welcome. Welcome, Baxter, to the podcast. All done, bud.
I just watched people over the past 2 years leaving Western medicine, not trusting.
Hey, hold it. You can keep going.
Not trusting, you know, big pharma and but also not knowing where to go. And there was like an eagerness that I saw in my followers to learn about herbalism and to learn about plants and what plants do, what the sun does for you, what structured water does for you, what, you know what I mean? Like I just, what grounding does for you. Like everybody was like, oh my gosh, what is this? And it was like, we were all learning together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to create a well. That's Michelle's Well. I want to be a resource for people to come in and dip in and get what they need and leave and be better than
before.
And
take it and implement it in their life.
Right.
Try things and see what works for them.
Right.
And I think that's honestly the one of the biggest things I've realized over the last few years is like it's really allowed me to connect with people who get me, who are able to hear something that they may not necessarily know about or agree with and like actually be able to have a conversation, like finding your people,
right?
Like finding your people.
You know what I envisioned it, what happened with COVID. So everybody was drowning.
Yeah.
In a sea, like a sea of turmoil where the waves were crashing over everyone's head. And the people who bobbed their heads up for air and knew something was happening, that they were drowning, they were aware that they were trying, that the waves were trying to crash around them. Mm-hmm. Everyone's heads, you know, are questioning and they're popping up and they're looking at everybody else around them whose heads are popping up. And then, hey, I see you. Like, it was like this, even though we were in a shit show storm, you know.
Still kind of are.
We were able to, but now, like, look at our tribe.
And, yes.
Like, before we were all kind of lone islands.
Yes.
You know, in our thoughts and even, like, your journey happened 2019.
Yeah.
You know, where, and mine began, yeah. Like, looking into vaccines and, you know, why is there SIDS? And you know what I mean? All that stuff, so.
I that was one thing I was going to say when you first started talking is, like, you always had questions.
Right.
You were always curious and wanted to better understand something.
Right.
And we live in a society now where
you're not supposed to question.
We're not allowed to question. And if we do, then we're crazy.
Or you'll be like Olivia, who got her platform canceled.
Yep.
Because Instagram didn't like her question.
I did talk about that on the podcast.
Did you?
Yes. I did a whole episode on it.
Yeah. How disheartening.
It was very disheartening. And even now, you'll see it. It's like, it is literally the modern day book burning.
Right.
And people who refuse to admit that are not paying attention.
They're not.
You're denying it. Right. You're turning a blind eye to it. Right. And you're...
ostrich.
And honestly, the people who support it are really... That rubs me the wrong way.
I don't know many people who support it, thank God.
I don't know many, but I do know personally. Some who I've seen, like, saying, well,
online.
Yes, yeah. Why are you complaining? Instagram is a free platform. You have to follow the rules.
I have seen comments like that, yeah.
And it's like, okay, but what if you were posting something that I didn't agree with and I was like, well, just delete you.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
That's not how life works.
Everybody's voice deserves to be heard.
Not how life works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely been a learning. I honestly feel like it's an awakening. It has been an awakening, and there's still people who are awakening. And will continue to awaken. So there were a lot of really horrible parts about it, but I also think that there were a lot of silver linings about it.
Honestly, blessings. For me, I told people after the end of 2020, I realized this was the best year I've ever had in my life because I never wore a mask and I was forced to do the hard things. I was forced to live by my...
This makes me want to cry too.
Like, by my convictions, and I've never been that kind of person. I guess I can tie that into sobriety, too, because I've always been the Enneagram 7, who is like, I want to have fun, I want to let live, and be free, and get drunk, and, you know, just be wild.
Well, even in just you saying that, like, looking back on, like, where I was in college, and even after college, I'm, like, seeing myself here now, and, like, what I'm talking about and what I care about. If you told me this years ago, I would have laughed in your face.
It's different.
I would have laughed in your face, but it's also the thing that I've realized is I have never felt so comfortable in my own skin than I do now.
Totally.
And I'm 31. Like, I've never felt this comfortable in my life with who I am and what I... in my convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it hasn't been easy because there are a lot of people who are very uncomfortable with growth and change.
But like, just like that, I know it sounds silly, but like the little piece of sand that keeps getting irritated inside of an oyster, like it's truly, that's how it happens. You have to get irritated to become something.
You have to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to get comfortable with getting uncomfortable in order to grow and change and become who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you sit and you ignore something that's in your heart, that's in your soul, and you don't speak it, it just keeps building and building and building inside of you.
Right.
I'm trying to remember.
It's not good for you.
I'm trying to remember. There was like a specific metaphor recently, specifically talking about that, like just holding it in and not being yourself. Like you're not being your true self.
Right.
You're not being true to yourself. You're being somebody who you think everybody else wants you to be.
Right.
You're not being who you are.
Authentic.
So you're literally living your life for everybody else.
Right.
And that applies in every aspect of life, not just your healing journey. It applies in how you show up. Yeah. It applies in how you show up in all of your relationships, in every aspect of life. Like even what we were talking about last night, society has these expectations. You go to public school, you go to college, you graduate, you get married, you have babies, you buy a house. What if you don't want to do any of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be demeaned or looked down upon for having your own journey and having your own path.
Right.
And so, so many people are so uncomfortable with that, especially older generations.
Right.
Not everybody, but a lot of them. So it's just, I'm thankful for these last few years, as brutal as they've been.
I am too.
Bexy, lay down. All done. Come on. So, I would like to hop into talking about, well, we talked about your healing journey, and then I guess we can start talking about, do you want to talk more about your healing journey? Like,
sure.
For you, what that meant, and then not just what started it, but like kind of what you did for yourself.
Yeah.
And then we can lead that into a discussion on being sober.
Right. Well, I think for me, so like outside of just seeing my mom with the blueberries,
mm-hmm.
The next big thing was discovering raw milk 11 years ago.
I would love for you to actually share a bit about raw milk.
Raw milk is magical. So the thing that I loved about raw milk was that...
Recording in progress.
Raw milk is magical. What I discovered about raw milk is that it's alive. And I realized, like, once I realized that it was, like, an actual living organism where I could make fermented foods with it, where I could separate, you know, the curds from the whey, where I could make things like beet kvass and my own cheeses. Oh my gosh, I geeked out.
Did you?
On raw milk. I was 24 years old. I was in ministry school, and I'm watching The Healthy Home Economist. I don't know if you know her. She's like a little stay-at-home mom in Florida, and she was just in her kitchen, like, making all her raw milk stuff. This is how you make cream cheese. This is how you...
So cool.
I know. So I started making my own cream cheeses. I started making my own cottage cheese. And I just was like, this is life. Like, this is the thing that I was made for. Weird as that sounds, you know?
Not
but
weird.
Like, just understanding, I made my own ghee.
Wow, you did?
I made my own ghee.
So cool.
Yeah, so like you...
People don't know what ghee is.
Ghee
people
is
who don't know what it is.
Clarified butter. So you scrape the fat off the top ever so slowly as it like continues to simmer until it's just purified, clarified butter. And it it's shelf stable.
Yes.
And
it's delicious.
And the temperature, the high temp point for cooking is like the highest.
Yes.
So I made my own ghee, and it was just like, I was like way before my time. This was like
literally
11 years ago.
It's amazing.
And so I've been drinking raw milk ever since.
Well, so it's interesting because I'd like to share a little bit about like our raw milk journey, because
yeah,
we just started it.
Oh, did you?
Somewhat recently. Not like just started it, but
a year ago.
Remember I was telling you, so for anyone, I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, I went plant-based for like 6 months, like fully plant-based, while I was nursing Lula, who is 2.5 now. And like I lost weight, but I also feel that because I was nursing and expending so much of what my body was...
Your nutrients.
My nutrients were going to Lula. So looking back, I feel like I was exhausted. And so I started reintroducing meat and I felt so much better.
Wow.
And so the other part of it is that I had cut out dairy and eggs when Lula was nursing because it seemed to make her super gassy, like her belly. And so that was when she was teeny. So I cut that out for like a year and a half.
Wow.
So I wasn't having that. And now knowing what I know now, I mean, we can talk about Weston A. Price, which I haven't really jumped into on the podcast, but Weston A. Price is an incredible resource, but it talks about eating nose to tail and drinking raw milk.
Eating ancestrally.
Eating the way we're supposed to eat. Honestly.
The way that our ancestors ate, which was, nose to tail, raw milk, butter, sourdough breads, fermented foods.
Not processed foods, not crazy sugar, not all of these ingredients.
Anything before the Industrial Revolution.
Yes. And so Lula had had, what did I give her? I started trying to introduce it to her when she was an infant. She was like, I want to say maybe 8 months old. And so I gave her cream cheese, but it wasn't raw.
Cream cheese. Yeah.
And so I gave her cream cheese and she broke out in like blotches all around her mouth. Not like an allergic reaction, but more of just like a sensitivity to it. And so then I stayed away from it for a while and I wasn't consuming it myself. So then I tried it again with other cheeses and it just seemed like every time it like upset her stomach and I was like, okay. And then I don't even know who, I saw raw milk on Instagram, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it was someone who told me about it in person. I genuinely can't remember. Maybe it was on a podcast I was listening to. But that's part of your healing journey, right? Is you learn these things that you have to learn and unlearn. And so in my mind, I stopped drinking milk because when I was younger, I never really liked milk. I liked like skim milk. Now, knowing what I know now, I'm like, that's
sugar
literally
water.
Nothing.
Sugar water.
Not doing
that's what I call
sugar
pasteurized
water.
Milk. It's just sugar water.
Well, so that's the thing. People don't realize if you are drinking pasteurized milk, pasteurized cheese, all these things, it's been demonized by the food industry.
Yeah. Can I tell you what happens?
Learned
this on the Weston A. Price podcast.
Yes. Go for
so
it.
So with raw milk, right? It's alive. So all the enzymes are inside of it, bubbling and ready to break down the lactose in your gut.
Right.
So when you drink it, a lot of people who drink pasteurized milk that has been heated above 160 degrees think that they're lactose intolerant because what happens is when you heat it up that high, it breaks down into a bunch of foreign pieces that your body doesn't know what to do with.
Yes.
So you get things like gas because it no longer contains the enzymes that break down the lactose, and you get mucus because your body, what is mucus? Mucus is your body trying to excrete something that it doesn't belong inside of it.
Natural.
So that's literally what's happening. So with raw milk, you won't get mucus. With raw milk, you won't get gas.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
It's fascinating.
And it heals allergies, eczema. It heals your gut.
So that's part of mine and Lula's healing journey, right? Is I know, I think everyone always has gut healing to do. That's like a lifelong thing because it depends on your environment and there's so many things that go into that.
Right.
But she had dealt with, I was saying this the other day, she dealt with some skin issues and I was trying to figure it out. And so we decided to try raw milk because I'm like, when I learned about it, I was like, okay, well, if she can't do cream cheese and other types of things, like there has to be a reason why. And then when I learned about the benefits of raw milk and the fact that it's not pasteurized in the same way and it doesn't take out everything that's good for you,
mm-hmm.
I was like, let's try it. And so I'm not even kidding. I said this to you. The first time we got raw milk, we brought it home. I opened it up, put some in a cup for her. She literally wanted like 5 cups of it.
That's amazing.
And even now, she would drink that entire.
She would drink the entire quart of it. So we went to a farm today to get some raw milk, and I almost told her, get a gallon, babe.
I know.
She's gonna blow through it.
Probably.
I think you will next time.
Yeah, I will next time.
Because it's. For my thing is like listen to your body, especially your children.
Well, she needs it
when they're craving. You know what I mean?
But that's what I mean. She needs it because I wasn't having it myself, so therefore my breast milk was not.
Oh, and remember you told me last night that she could eat a stick of butter.
Yes,
right?
She could eat a stick of butter.
She's lacking
she loves
that
butter.
Fat.
Yes, and so we were talking about that, and then we were also talking about like supplements and how that's different for everybody. And how we don't take supplements every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And
you should cycle through them and not take them all the time, every single,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. And really just listening to your body and being in tune with your body. So do you want to start talking about like sobriety and kind of
yeah.
how that really helps us
right.
become so in tune with our bodies?
Right. So what happened with me was I went through a breakup in 2018. And I said to myself, like, I'm just going to take 100 days off of drinking
mm-hmm.
alcohol. And then that started in September or October. And my girlfriend invited me to a workout class, like, 10 days into my, like, sobriety, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm not a big workout person, but I'll go. And it was That's fine. It was Orange Theory Fitness. It was a free class. So I was like, whatever. And I went and I almost died, like on the treadmill, not literally.
Oh, I was like, what?
I'm very dramatic, colorfully. You're like, what?
I was like, did you not tell me something?
I almost died. They made me work out. It was awful. And on the treadmill, like, I literally was like, wow, like, I don't know if I can make it through the class.
Yeah.
So I made it to the end of the class, like, almost in tears because I was like, this is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first hard thing I've done, I had done, like, since my mom died. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I can do hard things. I think I have what it takes. So then I went again and again and again, and I signed up for, like, the unlimited. So I would go, like, 16 times a month.
Oh, man.
You know?
I've done Orange Theory, too.
Yeah. And I ended up, so I took off that last 100 days of the year of drinking, started drinking again beginning of 2019, but then decided I'm going to do a weight loss challenge. So I did their weight loss challenge up against 100 people.
There
at, yeah, Orange Theory, and I won.
Dang.
Against over 100 people, I lost 25 pounds.
Wow.
And that was my next hard thing. I was like, I can do this. Like, I can lose the weight. This weight doesn't belong on me. And I was still, like, drinking here and there kind of thing. And then I started training for my half marathon, and I was like, I can do this next hard thing. So I feel like this was, like, the Lord really preparing me for 2020,
mm-hmm,
because by the end, I ran my half marathon November of 2019, decided December of 2019, I'm going to take off the year of 2020 of drinking,
yeah,
the whole year. And I was like, it's just going to be a year. It's not a big deal. I'll start drinking again in 2021. And little did I know that a pandemic would happen, or a quote unquote pandemic, you know? And that if I had not decided to do that, I don't even know who I would be today, because I would have taken all that time at home in quarantine instead of working out and eating really well. Like, I ate really, really well and grounded every single day. I went outside with my bare feet every day,
mm-hmm,
got sunshine every single day.
Sunshine on your face, man.
Yeah. And instead of doing that, I would have been drinking booze. I would have been hungover all day long. Like, I would have been alone and isolated, and I wouldn't have grown exponentially as much as I did in the year of 2020. So it was like all these little things, realizing I had what it takes to do the next hard thing. And I finally was like, I can do this. So I've been sober since, and I haven't even sipped alcohol,
yeah,
since January 1st of 20, or, you know, New Year's Eve. Yeah. New Year's Eve, I was like, let's go. But that was it, of 2019.
Yeah.
And I just don't need it.
We were talking about that last night, about, like, this stigma, right? Like, if we go somewhere and someone offers you a drink and you're like, no, thank you. Or, like, and then we'll be like, why? And you're like, I don't drink.
And they, why? And yeah. And they feel uncomfortable.
They feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
Because it almost exposes something that's inside of them that they're running from. And they're thinking, well, if I drink, then I can cover this up.
Well, I just remember feeling like, I mean, we were also talking about, like, my drinking in college and after college, and, like, I was a tank.
I was too.
Looking back, I'm just like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was a bartender.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you said that earlier.
Right. I was a bartender, and I was like, I can handle. Like, I was a happy drunk.
But if you think about it, because I started thinking about it, I'm like, why do we always feel like, okay, we have to celebrate something, we have to have a drink?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's literally perpetuated by our society.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, someone's getting married and engaged, or
champagne
or mimosas or whatever. And this is not me telling you not to drink.
Right, exactly.
But it's just for me personally.
It's my own conviction.
It's my own conviction.
And when you live inside of a conviction, it's so much more powerful than someone just saying, well, I'm not doing it because I can't, or because someone told me to stop, or, you know, when it's your own conviction, it's so much more powerful.
Yeah, but I also think, like, what was I going to say? I always think about, I don't know, I just don't understand. I mean, I guess it's probably in the way I grew up and what I grew up around. Just, I don't understand the need to have a drink for every single thing. Like, I just don't get it. I'm like, I can, and I've always been able to have a good time without drinking. Like,
right.
I always have been, but I did a lot in college, in high school, and but then I always, being hungover is not fun.
It's awful.
Not fun.
As an adult, it's awful.
As a mom, it's awful too.
I can't even imagine.
And I had, so then this past year, the last drink that I had, like, I saw a bunch of my friends from college in August, and that was the first time I, like, drank in a long time, but I didn't have a lot of drinks. I literally had a shot, which was horrible, and, like, I sipped on a margarita, and then the week after that, I was, like, the week after that, yeah. I felt like my body was like, what did you just do to me?
Right, right.
So then I just decided, I was like, I'm just not going to drink.
Right.
Because I don't really enjoy it.
And it's counterintuitive to what our lifestyle is, because our lifestyle is literally like, we stay away from the toxins.
Right.
We buy essential oils. We don't have fragrances in our house. We eat organic.
Food.
It's like, why would you, it's literally counterintuitive to what our vein is and where it's
aligning.
Going. Right. It's not aligning. It's totally out of alignment.
But I
and that sorry.
No, it's go for it.
That's why I decided to keep not drinking too, because I saw how much exponential growth I had in 2020, and I realized, oh damn, there's a lot more in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually have given myself permission to be fully Michelle, like fully.
Well, yes, because right, people think that they need to drink a little bit to have some confidence or loosen up, and it's like,
but
you
it's
can
false.
Do that without that.
But it's false because it goes away in the morning.
Yes.
So it's not actually pulling.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're like, oh, I need to have
right,
this
but it's
to truly be myself, to truly speak my mind.
But you don't. Right. And so I just realized I was like, I actually really, really like who I am without it. Yes, I'm more serious. Yes, I don't dance on top of bars anymore.
I mean, you still could.
I could. Trust me, don't put it past me, because I totally could.
I probably still would.
I probably
so.
Would.
Put the right Nicki Minaj song on.
But I'm making so much progress. I never, ever in my wildest dreams thought I'd be a business owner. Ever. I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a businesswoman.
You are.
But I am now. But I was not. Like, it's not in my bones to be who I am today. But I was like, oh, wait, it actually might be. In my bones.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm doing this and as I'm growing and developing this thing, I'm like, I think I'm made for this. It's kind of, I'm still navigating it because it's scary, because it's a lot of responsibility.
It is.
But.
But like, that's the thing.
Right. That's my next hard thing.
But when it comes to everything we're talking about taking radical responsibility of your life and you yourself and your healing and your journey.
Right.
That lines up with it.
It's huge.
So it led you there.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Michelle's teas. Do you want to talk about them now?
I would love to.
Okay.
Thanks. We're sipping on some right now, actually.
We're sipping on some tea.
This is my Relaxed Child.
It's so delicious.
This was my favorite tea until I just made up one. It's called Morning Mama. It's for morning sickness and belly aches. Hello.
Hello.
It's like, because it has the lemon balm and the chamomile that the Relaxed Child has that we're sipping on now. But it also has ginger and peppermint.
You need both of those things when you're pregnant, by the way.
Yeah, ginger.
For nausea.
Right, exactly. So
ginger, I mean, you can have ginger in general whenever you're feeling nauseous or
right.
your stomach's upset. You
right.
can literally just have ginger tea or like fresh ginger in
right.
warm water.
Right.
So in a tea, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I have another one called Womb Wellness.
Which we had, right?
Yes, the one.
We just had that.
That's the one that I like to do long infusions with, because the long infusion will pull out the nutrients so much more so than if you were just to do like this with chamomile. And that's the thing with herbs too, that I am no herbalist. That's the thing. I have an online herbalist, but I'm not an herbalist because I realize in doing my research, it's literally, it just takes time.
Yes.
Any herbalist, there's no like, I am a certified herbalist. Like there's technically not. Like, everybody's always growing.
There's a lot of certifications and programs.
Right. But they're all really what it is, and it comes down to is experience.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just get your hands dirty. So
and dive into it.
Right, exactly. So I just started doing that and researched about chamomile. Chamomile, you can't do a long infusion with. You can't do longer than, like, a 15-minute brew because it will become toxic to your body.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's, like, certain herbs that you have to, like, really learn and be careful about. Like rose, you can't do... like above, that's why on the package for Lax Trial, I say don't boil the water just up until like a certain degree, you know, because it will ruin the flavor.
This is what I'm saying.
Right. There's
like,
a lot
I
of
learn
dynamics.
New things every single day,
yeah.
especially when it comes to holistic healing and
right.
like what our bodies need.
Right. And with the womb wellness, when you do the long infusion, it pulls, I think it's like 500% more out than if you were to do like a 10,
I love
10
that
minute
one,
brew.
By the way. It's delicious.
So that's actually
so
my
good.
Favorite. I heard a quote. I listened to a podcast the other day and they said, when in doubt, use nettles because it's for everything. And I also heard this one herbalist talking and she was saying, I am nettles. Like nettles is prickly.
to the touch of when you first like brush up against it, it's like, ow, like this is
doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. And then as you get to like literally no nettles more, it heals you.
Yeah.
So it's like it's abrasive at first and you're like, wait, this might be too much for me. And then you realize, oh wait, I actually need this, like the remedy that I need for these things that I don't want to face.
Yes. And I think that's, it's a fascinating way to look at it, because I think, so say somebody says something to you, we talk about this a lot. We talk about how on social media, if you share something, you share factual information and people say that you're shaming them or it really triggers them.
Right, right.
But I have been thinking about it lately, and some people like may initially be like, okay, you're shaming me because I choose to do something different than you. But then they stop and they think about it and they're like, this is triggering me. Why is this triggering me?
Yes, yeah.
How can this heal me? What can I learn?
Right.
Not everybody is capable of doing that.
And even if I don't agree with you, you know, you can still understand yourself better. Why am I being triggered right now?
That's, I mean, we could talk, we could really go into the internal work, but that would need a whole other episode, which we're going to have to come back and do, I guess.
Yes. But before we get away too long, michelleiswell.org is where you can find my herbs.
Yes. And that'll be shared in the show notes. So we'll share Michelle's Instagram. We'll share your website.
Thanks, friend.
In the show notes. And then when we share it on our stories and everything, when this goes live. So everything will be included there. Her teas are incredible.
Thank you.
Also have the elderberry.
I have elderberry kits.
Do you want to tell people about some of the kits that you have?
Yeah. Okay. And that's my thing, is like, I'm still creating everything.
I know.
Like, it's like this...
You brought something new over when you came.
Right. Like, ideas pop into my head, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should have elderberry kits, and maybe I should have... You know what I mean? So the one thing that I'm really excited about is making tinctures with people.
Yes.
Instead of selling tinctures, I'm teaching people how to make tinctures. Mm-hmm. So every month I have an herb of the month. January was echinacea. February is dandelion. March is going to be nettles, because I'm just like... I need some nettles in my life.
We need some nettles.
I need some nettles.
Everybody
in my
needs
life.
Some nettles.
But the thing with tinctures is that even more so than a long infusion, the vodka, when you pour vodka into a plant matter, pulls it out so much more, all the constituents out, to the point where it's just this like really potent dose, and it becomes a supplement.
Right.
And people are like, what's a tincture? Tincture is plant matter, you put it in a mason jar, pour vodka over it, let it brew for a month, shake it every day. Mm-hmm. And then you pour it through a fine mesh sieve, so all the plant matter is left out, and all you have left is this. It's like vanilla bean. When you do a vanilla extract, it's the same kind of concept. You're not eating the vanilla bean
itself.
You're eating the essence of the vanilla bean. So it's like that. But, you know, it's potent. You only need a teaspoon per recipe, you know, of vanilla bean. It's kind of that same concept.
This is kind of like what you were talking about, though. We're both in this space where we want to be, A, we want to learn these things ourselves, that we did not
grow up knowing.
It was not passed on to us. And making tinctures
is huge.
Is something that I feel everybody should know.
You can. My next big thing that I really want to do is forage everything.
Yes.
Everything. So I started foraging dandelions. Dandelions, keep your eye out. In March, they start to pop up.
Dandelion root is incredibly healing.
Just make sure that the area has not been sprayed with Roundup for at least 2 years. So if it's in your own backyard and you know for sure, no, this stuff hasn't been touched for years, then go ahead and like literally take like a knife. You can even take like a butter knife and dig into the soil, dig around, pull the root up so it's intact, and you can dry the whole thing out. Just wash it, wash all the dirt off, wash it off the leaves. You can do even the flower, put everything inside of a mason jar and just add vodka.
So cool.
Like the flower, the leaf, the root, everything. And you can do it fresh, you can do it dried.
You know, I actually have this book. Have you read the book? The title sounds aggressive, but it's really How Not to Die. Have you read it?
What does it look like?
I have it. It's here, let me get it.
Because I know that I've heard of it, but I wonder if I have it.
Dr. Michael McGregor.
No, I don't have it.
So.
It's huge.
It's a big book for anybody who wants to see it. How Not to Die.
It's massive.
By Michael McGregor, MD. Founder of NutritionFacts.com. So I actually, when did I get this? Well, I should preface it with, discover the foods scientifically proven to prevent and reverse disease. So many people are of the mindset that you cannot reverse disease once you have it. And they also let disease, their diagnosis of disease define who they are.
Yeah.
And they think that they are incurable because of that. And doctors often say, we talked about this last night,
yeah,
you have this timeline. This is your timeline.
5 good years.
Right. So I got this book. My grandfather was diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer, and he did end up passing away, but he didn't follow any of this stuff. And this is not to say it's his fault or anything like that, but
yeah,
I got this because I was trying to find things.
Wow, for him.
For him. Like, what could he use? What foods could he eat? Thank you.
That's sad. Especially after trying to find a holistic way to heal him.
And that's the other thing that's really hard is sometimes older generations are very stubborn. They're like, there's no way that that's going to work. There is no way. And it's like, you don't know until you try.
Right. But have you ever eaten a dandelion?
Yes. Well, it talked about dandelion root tea and all these things. And so, yeah, I've always had questions. But I don't really know. Like, for me personally, it was my own healing journey. And then when I see other people who are struggling with things, even though I'm not a doctor, I'm like, what can I find
yes.
that you could try?
That's literally me.
You know?
Yep.
So, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
I don't know why people are so, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Negative. Offended.
Offended. Negative.
Offended at the concept that you could possibly heal yourself.
Right.
With herbs.
Yeah. With
anything.
The earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mindset. There's so many pieces of health. That's the other thing.
Right.
People think, okay, all I need to do is work out 5 times a week. All I need to do is eat perfectly. It's like, no, you have to actually look at the foods you're eating. Look at the amount of sleep you're getting. What's in your environment? What type of water are you drinking? Are you having sex? Do you have a good, like, sexual health? What's
right.
your mindset? What are your emotions? What are you consuming
yes.
on a daily basis?
Right.
Food-wise, what are you putting into your
mind?
Are
you meditating? Are you praying?
Are you going outside?
Right.
Are you letting the sunshine hit your face? How cold is it today? 26 degrees. Michelle and I were standing outside just with our faces up towards the sky like,
hi, sun.
And it felt so good. So good.
Right.
But I was kind of just went off on a rampage. But we'll include that book in the show notes because it's a good,
good.
One. It's
yeah.
a thick one. It's a thick one, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next thing we want to talk about. Well, we kind of didn't really finish talking about the sober piece.
Okay.
And so we talked about your journey. We talked about my journey a little bit. And so I kind of want to talk about how being sober and the combination with healing.
Right.
Healing your mind.
Right.
Healing your body. Sober and being really in tune and in touch with who you are.
Right.
And then how it's kind of like the metaphor. It's a metaphor for being sober and being drunk. I feel like when I started my healing journey, I stopped drinking. I feel like when I see people now, I've always kind of had this. We've always kind of had this. We talked about this. Like, we see people for who they are, where
right.
they are. We see if somebody is hurting, but we don't know what it is. But we can just see it in
right.
the way that they talk, in their body language, and their
right.
mannerisms.
Right.
But I feel like once you start to do your healing and you start doing this internal work, you better understand why you are the way you are. But then you also start to better understand other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see where they are, but you don't know what they've gone through. And sometimes it's okay to ask and try and like get them to talk about it, but some people aren't ready for that.
Yes.
So like meeting people, this idea of meeting people where they are,
right,
and loving them for who they are and being that support if they want your support,
right,
because they have to
want
staying
that. At a high vibrational frequency where you are living in your integrity.
Yes.
Even if they're not, and just being like, you can come up here if you want.
Yeah.
But not, yeah. Not.
I'm not going to go down to where you are.
Right.
I think that's the other thing is, we've said that earlier on in the podcast, that people who are not ready to heal, have not started their healing journey, are really, really, maybe not even realizing that they need to heal.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows on an unconscious level that
yes.
they need to heal.
Yeah.
But I think when you become sober and you do, you're practicing healing every day.
Right.
You are so much more conscious and aware and mindful of your choices and how you show up and the energy that you're putting out to everyone around you.
Right.
And so it's fascinating to me.
Right.
It really is. and you really want to help everybody, but at the same time, I think that's the hard part too, is I'm not saying that I'm this magical healed unicorn and I'm perfect.
Right.
I'm never going to be perfect. I'm right. always going to have something to heal. But at least, like, I acknowledge where I'm at. Right. I acknowledge
you're conscientious of
what
it.
Has led me right. to where I am now. Right. And I acknowledge when I mess up.
Mm-hmm.
We're human.
Right.
We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. But owning that and being like, what could I do better next time? What did I learn from this?
Yeah.
You know? And so I so genuinely, with like every part of my soul, want people to start their own healing journeys.
Right.
Yeah. For themselves.
Right. And to be well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be well.
Yeah. It reminds me of this, this girl at the New Year's party, my 1 year anniversary of being sober.
Mm.
She said, oh, I heard that you were sober all year long. Are you going to celebrate tonight by drinking?
Mm.
I said, oh no, I think I'm going to keep going. And I didn't know at that point, like how long. I just knew I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, well, when you're ready, I'm here for you.
When you're ready?
When I'm ready to start drinking.
When you're ready to start
drinking. When I'm ready to start again. Drinking again, she will be there for me. Well, thanks, darling. Like, it was just, it blew my mind. Like, I was like, wow, when I'm ready to dip low again and like to that state where you're not ready. You know, and she's thinking, oh, when I.
What about.
Isn't that crazy?
What about, okay.
That was very eye-opening for me. Cheers
with a mocktail.
Right.
Because I support you
choosing
something different.
Right. But like that concept of like people being so uncomfortable with your growth that when you're ready to get dipped down low again, I'm here for you. It's like.
When you're ready to lower your vibration right, to where I'm at.
Right. Instead of, I would love to hang out with you. No, because that would make her uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
We also touched on that during our conversation.
Like, yeah.
People have this mindset that you're not fun anymore if you don't drink.
Right.
I hate that so much.
Right. But I'm very sober-minded now. So, meaning I'm very clear. I'm a prepper.
Prepper.
I'm a prepper. I have a bug out bag. My car, I have my ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
If shit hit the fan, I would be okay.
Yeah.
For a long time. I could literally go out into the wilderness and be okay.
Yeah.
So.
Which some people listening are probably going to be like, what?
What? That's crazy. But it's true. Like, I needed all of my wits about me, so to speak, to really just be sober-minded and be present and be clear moving forward. Because I'm like, I need to be clear on my path forward.
Yeah.
Instead of like this fogginess. Like I don't want to not be present.
Yeah.
I don't want to disconnect.
Right. I think that's the biggest thing.
I might not be a good time, but
I think you're a good time.
Right. Because you're comfortable with yourself.
Right. But that's one of the biggest things is that our society uses all of these things that further disconnect you from who you are, where you are.
Right. And even social media.
Yes.
Like when you're scrolling.
Yes. We talked about that too.
I want to record a little bit of us.
But that's what we were talking about too. Just like there are these things that we do every single day, these behaviors that we choose, right?
Right.
So, and I talked about this with you earlier. I was like, there was definitely a part of last year where I was, instead of addressing all of the emotions that I had going on, instead of addressing all of the stuff that I should have been processing, instead of feeling my emotions and talking about them and journaling or doing something productive with my brain, I was sitting there and I was like scrolling social media for like hours, and then I would sit there and be like, I just sat on social media for 3 hours.
Right.
Like, what could I have been doing better with
exactly.
my time?
Exactly.
And so our society, that's what we do. We get obsessed with, we eat bad food, we gorge ourselves with food, we sit on
social media.
We're gluttons. We drink to avoid feeling our feelings.
Right.
It's wild. That shut off. It's just wild to me that is what our society not only perpetuates but encourages,
right?
Like actively encourages, hey, okay, you need to drink to feel better. And it's even like country songs. You know what I mean? Like, what's that song? Beer Never Broke My Heart. Like, I don't know. It's just our society is so far removed from, not everyone in our society, but a lot of people in our society are.
Right. Because it's uncomfortable to sit with the...
your feelings.
The uncomfortability of growth. And I always say that too, like, if a seed stayed the same, it would always be dormant.
Right.
Like, it would, if it was like, I'm comfortable where I'm at, I'd be like, well, then you're never going to grow.
I'm comfortable.
I'm comfortable. This ground is like my home, and it would die.
Yeah.
It would decompose.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what we're, if that's our mentality, is just like, I'm just really comfortable right here. And that, like, I don't want to talk about the hard things. I don't want to do the hard things.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't confront yourself, mm-hmm. and that's like first and foremost is confronting yourself. You can eat all the right food. You can, you know, do the right things holistically, but if you're not confronting your emotions and confronting yourself, your wounds, your past, your trauma, how you're presenting yourself to the world and how you're affecting the world.
Yeah, and I think what a lot of people fail to realize is that when you go to discuss like these traumas that you've dealt with and ignored, and you're holding that in your body.
Right.
You're
Did you ever read that book? The Body Keeps the Score?
I have it, but I haven't read it.
I started reading it. That's another book I have to really get into because it's like, it's uncomfortable. Yeah. I read to like chapter 3. I was like, I'm not ready.
No, but your body holds on to that. Your body holds on to trauma. And also, I mentioned this on the podcast once before because my mind is still blown by this. But whatever trauma you have as a person, as a mother, when you have, like, my mom's trauma was passed on to me.
Your DNA.
My grandmother's, it shows up in her DNA. Literally. So whatever trauma.
Trauma responses, yeah.
Yes, whatever trauma my grandmother felt, my mom felt, I felt, my daughter feels. That's why I think healing is so important.
Right.
Because it shows up in your DNA.
Right, and literally, it's not just affecting you.
It affects generations. Like, whatever she goes through,
right?
If she doesn't heal that, that's going to show up in her kids and her grandchildren.
I know, this is crazy. It reminds me of mushrooms. We're all connected. Like, the mushroom, all of the mushrooms are connected in the world.
Yes.
Like, it's literally us. We're all connected.
I know. And it's just...
Of Avatar.
I forgot about that movie.
I love that movie, actually.
It's a good one. But yeah, so all of our, it's all connected, and everyone needs to heal, and it's hard. It's hard freaking work.
Right.
It makes me really sad when you just want to help someone heal, but you can't heal for them.
You can't heal for them.
You can't. And you can try and try and try, but you're not going to get anywhere unless they want to do it. You won't get anywhere.
I was telling you this right before we started the podcast, but I told you I don't see myself as a leader. And I think that's truly when, because what the whole point of social media is seeing these people do things, use things, live a certain way, and then you think, I can do that too, or I really want that product, or so you're inspired.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
influenced.
And truly, you know, and I think that's at my core what I don't think I'm a leader. I want to be someone who lives in a way where others look at me and say, I want to change too for myself. You know, because
they
want
to decide.
They
want
to decide, right? Instead of forcing someone to be a certain way.
I mean, you can't.
Or to change, yeah. Or you could, but it wouldn't be their conviction. It wouldn't be long term. It wouldn't
stick. It's not
their
truth.
Right.
That's the hard part, too. Sometimes you just have to accept people for
where they're at.
Where they're at.
Yeah.
And
I think that's hard for me.
It's really hard for me. It's really, really, really hard for me.
Yeah. And that's because we're both seers. We're both people that see very clearly
mm-hmm.
into other people's souls. And we're like, but don't you see? Here's your mirror. We're literally mirror. And they're like, I don't want to see.
I mean, I did it for a really long time.
Yes.
Myself.
Yeah.
Even now.
There's
totally.
There's some times
where I'm sitting there and I'm like,
yeah,
about to cry. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? Don't cry. Like, you don't need to cry right now.
Right.
And so it's like there's so much unlearning that we have to do that's been ingrained in our bodies from childhood.
Right.
And
like, I'm not safe with myself and
alone. Feeling my feelings when I'm alone.
Right.
Like, that is a big mind.
I'm not
F.
safe with myself. Right.
That's wild.
Yeah.
But it's true. That happens
right
all the time. So I wanted to know if you had, like, what your favorite resources were, like, if you have specific books or podcasts or Instagram accounts that really resonate with you. And on anything, on not anything. Just, yeah.
Yeah, let me think about it. Definitely for herbalism, the girl that sparked me with everything was Organic Olivia.
Okay.
She has like 500,000 followers on Instagram.
She's awesome.
She is incredible. The reason why people love her so much is because she's real. She's down
yes.
to earth. She's not some pretentious person. She doesn't
no.
pretend to be perfect. She teaches you as she's learning. So,
yes.
And I'm like, that's like my personality too. Is like, I get very excited about certain things and I'm like, you guys have to come see this. You
know
what I mean? So it's like, I love that about her because I think it resonated because
well,
that's what's in me too.
When you see someone doing something
right.
that helps them, and you're like, I've never tried that.
Right, right, right.
I wonder if it would help
me. If it would help me.
And I
totally.
Think that's cool.
Right.
I think it's really cool.
So Organic Olivia is my favorite herbalist.
Okay.
Let me see. My favorite doctor. Like, if I ever met him, I would die. I would, Dr. Zach Bush.
You love him. He's awesome.
Obsessed.
I love him.
The reason I love him so much is because he said this on Janny Organically's podcast one time. He said, when I first meet people, I can always tell if I want to work with them or not by whether or not they hug me when I meet them.
Mm.
Because it tells me if their soul is open and willing to receive me.
I don't know if it was him. I think it was him.
That blew my mind.
Who was talking.
That's how I am too.
Yes.
I always want to hug. I always want to see people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry.
No, I think he was talking about, I want to say it was him. I'm pretty sure it was him. I don't think I'm wrong, but maybe I am. He was talking to somebody about cancer. And about their diagnosis and how they view it. And he was like, when I meet someone, I don't ask them about their cancer. If I know that they've been diagnosed with cancer, I don't talk about it. I don't ask them one thing about it. I don't ask them their symptoms. I don't ask them
sounds like him.
How long
right.
they were told they had to live.
Right.
He's like, I just start talking to them.
Right, because it's not their identity.
But so many people get diagnosed and they're like, okay, this is what I have and I'm only going to live for this amount of time. And if you believe that, it's highly possible that you will only have that amount of time.
Right. Right.
And people think that's woo-woo saying that, but mindset
mm-hmm.
is one of the most powerful things
yeah.
in the world.
Yep.
Your mindset.
That's why placebos work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they think that they've gotten that certain drug, that certain pill.
Yep.
They're healing themselves by thinking that they're getting healed.
What's that? There's like a story about that. I can't remember. There's a lot of kids' books that talk about that. About like having something that they thought was like this special pill that gave them powers or something. Or
right.
this special food.
Right.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Right.
But
yeah, Dr. And then also Dr. Josh Axe.
Love him
because he healed his mother's breast cancer.
Yes,
through
I read his books
through Chinese medicine, keto,
mm-hmm.
and supplements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like all the things. And he's also just very humble.
Yes.
He's not prideful. He's
I
not
like
arrogant.
Him.
There's something to be said for me about character.
Mm-hmm.
Character is everything for me. Like, if someone I'm following on Instagram who has a lot of followers has shitty character,
mm-hmm.
I won't follow them anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't care if every other person around me in my community follows them. I don't want to be like that person.
Right.
If I want it, I want to be influenced by people who inspire me to be a better person.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, and I'm not saying I'm perfect and, you know, have perfect character, but I always am wanting to grow,
yeah.
you know?
But I also think in what you're saying right now, one of the most important things to remember is that, like, not everyone's going to like you. And
right.
that's fine.
Right.
Like, that is okay.
Right.
You don't want everyone to like you.
Right. And I might not be someone's cup of tea.
And that's fine.
That's totally fine.
That's literally fine.
Right.
And that ties into, like, the whole people-pleasing thing and not living your life for yourself. Like, even if you did something or you, like, you People are going to either like you or not like you no matter what.
Right.
They're going to judge you no matter what. So just be your freaking self. Right. It sounds so much easier said than done, believe me.
Right.
But.
And that 2020 really helped me with that too. With just the people pleasing aspect of I'm about to offend a lot of people because I don't wear masks. And realizing like I can't please everybody, but I can be true to myself. Mm-hmm. And I can stay in my integrity and, you know, really live out the things that are resonating with me. And for me, it was like, I do not resonate with anyone telling me what to put on or in my body. Mm. And I will never tell someone what to put on or in their body.
Same.
So
that mindset that's alive and well in our society,
that is
mind blowing to me. Right. I remember literally in March of 2020, I was like, I remember sharing on my stories, like, I don't know what is going on. I don't know what is going on. But what I do know is that the hate and the division that's starting right now is going to lead us down a really bad road.
Right.
And I was like,
are we in this together or not?
But I remember saying that and, repeating it on my stories, being like, you don't have to agree with somebody else. Your decisions don't have to be what someone else's decisions are, and that's okay.
Right.
But this hate and this division that's so alive and well, and people are angry. People are becoming more and more angry. There's so much anger.
Did you hear about a guy who shot someone who refused to wear a mask?
Yes.
Isn't that insane?
There's so much anger, so much division.
Right.
And it's scary. It's really scary, but... like you were saying, I just don't understand this whole, you have to do something to your body for me.
Right.
No.
Talk about gaslighting.
You are responsible for your health.
Yes.
You are responsible for every action or decision you make every day.
Right.
You're responsible for that, not me.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not responsible for that.
Right.
So it's just, oh, man, people get so... angry and so triggered, and it's like, I don't want to be around those people.
Right. And that's the other thing about exemplifying too, is like, I hope to be someone so sovereign that people will see freedom in me and think,
I have that.
How do I get that?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are born with it.
Yep.
I keep seeing this quote that like freedom isn't like passed down through the bloodline. It is. We're born with freedom, but there's evil people in the world who try to steal it, so we do have to fight for it. But do you know, it's like a duality where it's like,
but if you both sides of the coin is true, then you are.
Exactly. And I literally will be that avatar at the end with a tree being pulled up by its roots, and I'm going to sit there like, you're not going to put a mask on me. You are not going to put a vaccine in me. And I don't care if a job is taken from me. I don't care if my home is taken from me. I literally will do everything in my sorry, I got distracted.
No, you're fine.
The camera. Everything in my, what's the word? I had a thought.
Everything in my
power. I will do everything in my power to stay in complete control of my own bodily autonomy.
And this is also why being so self-sufficient is so important.
Right.
Because if you can do everything for yourself,
right,
what do they have to take hold over you?
Right.
Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
If you can live off the land.
Yep.
What do they have to worry about?
Right. That's why I started my business. I was like, I'm not going to be part of the matrix. I'm not going to worry about, oh, what if this job requires me to dot, dot, dot. No, I'm my own boss now.
Yep.
And I very much have, I can't wait to do your Enneagram test. I swear she's an 8 because I'm a 7 wing 8 for Enneagram. And 8s are very just like, no one's going to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
No one. And my 8 really came alive the past 2 years. And I love healthy 8s. Healthy 8s are just like where it's at. They're so inspiring. And most of the influencers on social media are 8s.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Echo and Afraid.
I love Echo.
8.
Love her.
Janie's an 8. Who else is an 8? Rose and Charted is a 4.
I don't know.
Yeah. But 8s are very sure of themselves.
Mm.
They're not scared to speak out.
Mm-hmm. No matter what people say.
Right. I'm a wilder than 8.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm literally assuming that I didn't hear that from her.
We could do a podcast on Enneagrams too.
That would be so fun.
Let's make a list of all the podcasts that are doing. Welcome to the schedule for the Be Loud and Know What Matters podcast.
We've got lots to talk about.
We do.
Thank you so much for having me on here, by the way. This is just so much fun.
I was sitting here thinking, and I was like, this would literally just be a conversation we were having. Right. So welcome to our private conversation. We hope you all have enjoyed it and learned something from it. So one of the things I always like to ask people as we're wrapping up the episode is if you have any final pieces of advice or words for listeners.
I think really just get quiet with yourself.
Like sit with yourself.
Sitting with yourself, listening to, okay, like getting down to the bare bones. Like what is really important? Is it like getting connected to people? Is it getting connected to Holy Spirit? Is it getting connected to nature? And like really feeling, because I feel like there's a lot of areas and holes in us where we're good at filling, but with things that we shouldn't be filling it with. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about earlier with social media and stuff. And it's like, I think at that point, that's where the healing begins. And then that will translate into everything. It will, and that's what happened to me is like, I started connecting with people. I only hung out with that girl who invited me to the workout class. She was my only friend.
Oh, really?
For years.
So you really like fully expanded yourself.
When you have no idea. She looks at me now. I just talked to her on the phone on Sunday. She goes, I don't even recognize you. Like you're not the same. And it's not that I'm acting differently and like I'm not being true to myself. It's like I'm so true to myself now that she just can't believe I don't have, like I'm connected. I'm going to Bible studies. I'm being known by people.
People know who you are.
People know who I am. I'm not scared of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I used to be terrified, you know? And now it's just like this, I got comfortable in sitting in those quiet spaces in myself where I was like, where am I in need of? I'm in need of connection. I need to cry. I need to have a relationship with people who before maybe I ran away from, you know? Like my father, you know what I mean? And really start to be comfortable in those areas where before it was uncomfortable because I didn't want like the nettles. I didn't want to be stung, you know?
Well, even in just listening to you say that, it makes me think about how uncomfortable people are with quiet.
Right.
And like, even what we're talking about, we don't want to feel our feelings. We don't want to like think about things and like really sit with our thoughts and our feelings. Like that's why people scroll social media, that's why people binge watch TV shows or eat food or whatever they decide to do or drink. And people are so uncomfortable with sitting with themselves, myself included. Even right. Now I'm like, I actively have been not being on social media as much, especially at nighttime, because I get so much more done. I'm so much more productive and I feel good the next day.
Especially being a mom.
Yeah.
Because you have such a limited window of time where you have to get it done. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's easier. And I'm like realizing actually just even being here, I'm like, I would never be on social media if I had a kid because there's no time. Mm-mm. Like I'm, cause I like to be fully present.
Yes.
And now I live by myself. I have my own business. I'm in my house by myself all the time. So I'm on social media all the time. So even that I have to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. Think to myself like, okay, I need to cut off a time, you know?
Yep.
Because it can get to that place where you're kind of like, oh, am I filling a wound right now?
Yep. But it also too, and I've talked to a lot of other moms about this, or just people in general, not just moms, just like people who realize, okay, I need better boundaries with my phone and my cell for myself. Because then you realize when you are not on social media, you're not on your phone, you're so much less on edge. You're so much less quick to snap.
Right.
You're so much less anxious or frustrated.
Right.
I'm trying to get that row there. So yeah, it's just interesting. It's really interesting. So I love that. Sitting with yourself.
Sitting with yourself. Because that's where expansion happens. It's where, I mean, the seed literally is dormant in the wintertime. And then in that cold, dark place of silence, you know, mm-hmm. thinks to itself.
And honestly,
I think I can become something else.
For everyone listening right now, too, who lives, I guess, in this part of the United States where it's cold and gross outside, this is a good time to hole up with yourself,
right?
And sit with yourself and journal or meditate, cry, whatever you need to do, feel that for yourself, and then once you feel better doing that with yourself, then go back out and find that connection. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Don't sit and do it by yourself. And also, I just want to remind everyone, like, you're never alone.
Right.
It may feel alone. I felt like that many, many times.
Yeah.
but you're never alone. Yeah. And so there are people who no one's ever going to know what your personal experience is like. They're never going to understand what you have been through because right. no one will ever go through that. No one right. feels your feelings. No one thinks your thoughts right. except for you.
But trust me when I say you guys can always DM Olivia or I.
Yes. Because
we are very loving people and very understanding and very welcoming.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, sister. Well, whew,
this has been amazing.
It's been amazing. Thank I'm like you excited to listen to this.
For listening to my story.
Thank you for telling your story.
And for seeing me.
For being vulnerable and sharing your story.
You facilitate that though really, really well. Like I said at the very beginning, like I haven't hung out with anybody like you in a long time. And I'm like, man, this is nice.
It's refreshing.
Right. Because I walk around like I'm okay with myself, but not everybody else is okay with themselves.
Yeah.
But to meet someone who is, it's like,
hey. Hello.
I don't know a metaphor for you, but I'll figure out.
We'll think of a good one.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, listeners, for listening. We hope that you have enjoyed this little snippet of our lives, this conversation. And if this is something that aligns with you and feels good to your soul, please share it.
Yeah.
And tag us in your stories or whatever. And we can't wait to come back and talk about more. If there are certain things you want to hear about from Michelle and I,
maybe I'd be back because this is amazing.
Maybe. Definitely.
I'll see you in the spring.
All right, listeners. Well, we'll be back next week and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Be well.
Be well. Thank you so much for joining us this week, listeners. I really hoped you loved this episode as much as I did. If you enjoyed it, learned something new, or know someone you feel may benefit from it, please share it with them, whether you're posting it on social media, sending it in a text or an email. My goal is to open up these types of conversations within our society, within our families, within our friend groups. As always, if you have any feedback, questions, or know someone you think may be a great guest for the podcast, please connect us on Instagram at the Be Loud About What Matters podcast or send an email to beloudaboutwhatmatters@gmail.com. And if I haven't said it already, if you could please subscribe to the podcast, I would so appreciate it. And also leave a review if it's something that aligns with you and you feel like you want to learn more and you want to keep listening. Help us reach more people. I appreciate you all so much and can't wait to chat with you again next week. Bye-bye.